Hello, my name is Isaac Keith Martinez, and welcome to Isaac's Haunted Beard. Today we're going to be talking about two films, From Dusk Till Dawn 2, Texas Blood Money from the year 1999, and From Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter, also from the year 1999. I know you've seen From Dusk Till Dawn. I hope you like it. I like it. I'm a big fan. But have you seen part two? Have you seen part three? That's why I'm here today. If you haven't, I'm going to give you some information. And if you're on the fence about it, it'll help you make a choice. And I'm hoping you watch it. You know, what could it hurt? Why wouldn't you want to watch a movie about vampires in Mexico? Seems like a no-brainer to me. I've done this before. I did an episode on The Lost Boys, The Tribe, and The Lost Boys, The Thirst, parts 2 and 3 of The Lost Boys trilogy, which were also straight-to-video sequels. Hey, what a coincidence. Those were also about vampires. Maybe I have a thing for straight-to-video vampire sequels. Could be. This is kind of unique that both Dusk Till Dawn 2 and Dusk Till Dawn 3 are released in the same year. It's probably easier to do that since they're both straight-to-video films. You can pump them out faster. I only know of one other franchise where, like, the two movies, like, 1 and 2 came out in the same year, and that's Breakin'. Breakin' and Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo both came out in 1984, and those are both released in theaters. Maybe there's others. I don't know. I'd love to know. If you know, let me know. Tell me on Twitter. So first, let's talk about the plot. You know, I guess I might give away some spoilers. Not too much. I think with movies like these, it's less about spoilers and more about the action sequences and the violence and the special effects and the jokes too, right? These movies are fun and kind of funny. But I am going to tell you what happens more or less within these movies. So part two, Texas Blood Money, is about five criminals who plan to rob a bank in Mexico. Now they're from Texas, so I guess that's why it's called Texas Blood Money. But most of this movie takes place in Mexico, so it's a little misleading. So on the night that they're going out to meet at a motel, one of the five members of the gang, the one that recently escaped from prison, he gets attacked by vampires, and that turns him into a vampire. So, you know, throughout the film, he slowly turns each member of the gang into a vampire, all except for one, right? Because you need to have your hero, right? Kind of like in part one, you know, where George Clooney is introduced as potentially the antagonist of the film, and by the end of the film he crosses over to being the protagonist. Now that they're vampires, you know, they can't rob a bank in the daytime. They have to do it at night. So during the nighttime attempt to rob the bank, the police arrive to capture them, and the last half of the film, the final act of the film, is the showdown between the cops and the bank robbing vampires. Does that sound fun? That's what it's about. It's kind of fun. This film is directed by Scott Spiegel. Scott has directed a film that I think could safely be called a cult classic. It's a movie called Intruder. It's an 80s slasher film that takes place in a grocery store at night. Dusk Till Dawn 2 is not the only straight-to-video sequel Scott has done for a famous horror franchise. He also did Hostel 3. I've never seen Hostel 3. I've seen Hostel. I've seen Hostel 2. I like those movies, actually. But I've never seen Hostel 3. Maybe one day. Maybe not. Part two doesn't make me feel like there needs to be more story to be told. Scott has this gimmick camera shot that he does throughout the movie. Not only does he do it in this movie, he does it in Intruder. It makes me wonder if he does it in Hostel 3 also. He does point of view shots from inanimate objects. So, like, some that come to mind. Like, there's one where there's a fan, you know, it's blowing wind, and it's oscillating. So the camera is, like, on the fan. So, like, as it goes side to side, the camera's, like, kind of panning, looking at the room, looking at the people in the room as it's going back and forth. There's another where a guy's talking on a telephone, and the camera's placed inside the center of the cord that leads up to the phone. That one's, what's funny about that one is you can clearly tell that's an oversized cord so that they can squeeze this camera inside of it. The only other one I'll ruin for you is there's a shot of a dog drinking out of a dish. And it's from the point of view of the bottom of the bowl. So I guess it's like a glass bottom and they put the camera up. So it looks neat because, you know, it fills up the entire screen and you just see this huge doggy tongue, you know, slurping up water. Oh, it's a funny thing about that dog. The dog's name is the character. The dog's name is Jaws 2 because that character had explained that he had a dog before named Jaws, but he died. So this dog's named Jaws 2. Jaws 2 is a good name for a dog. If I had a dog, I wouldn't name it Jaws 2. But if I did name it Jaws 2, I wouldn't name it Jaws 2 because I had another dog named Jaws. I would start off naming my dog Jaws 2. Or maybe I would name my dog Jaws the Revenge. That would be a dope name for a dog. This film stars Robert Patrick in the lead. I know you know Robert Patrick. That's the T-1000 from Terminator 2 Judgment Day, as well as a bunch of other things, but that's the movie that made him famous. Robert Patrick plays a character named Buck Bowers. And when I hear that name, Buck Bowers, I can't help but to think of Buck Flowers. If you know your cult films, you know Buck Flowers. Buck Flowers is a famous face that usually got casted to play hillbillies or hobos. I'm not going to name all his movies. If you are seriously curious, just Google his face. You're like, I know that guy. He played a bum in Back to the Future. There's a scene where Robert Patrick is wearing a t-shirt of the rock band Filter. I don't know if you do remember Filter, it's because you're of a certain age. If you are younger, maybe you don't remember their hit song, Hey Man, Nice Shot. I guess they're a one-hit wonder. But they didn't just make that. They have other records. But anyway, the point is Robert Patrick's wearing a Filter shirt. I can't help but to think that's on purpose because the lead singer of Filter is Richard Patrick, which in real life is Robert Patrick's brother. I think that's kind of neat. This film also stars Dwayne Whitaker as Luther Hags, the first member of the gang to get bit by a vampire. You may recognize Dwayne as Maynard, the owner of the pawn shop from Pulp Fiction that Butch and Marcellus accidentally wander into when they're fighting on the street. And Dwayne also wrote the screenplay of this movie with Scott Spiegel. His character's name, I'm going to repeat it, is Luther Hags. Luther Hags is the name of the character that Don Knotts plays in the film, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken is better than either of the two films that I'm talking about today. I'm a big fan. And if you've seen that movie, hopefully you'd agree with me and you'd know why I'm going to quote The Ghost of Mr. Chicken right now when I say, Attaboy, Luther! If you know that movie, you know that line. It's funny. Hey, Bruce Campbell has a cameo in Dusk Till Dawn 3. He was also in Scott Spiegel's previous film, Intruder. He's at the end, near the end. He plays a cop. And they don't really, in my opinion, they don't really showcase his face very well. I feel like if you have Bruce Campbell in your movie, you'd want to show that off. But I don't think they do a good job of showing off Bruce Campbell in Intruder. Scott knows Bruce from Evil Dead 2 because Scott co-wrote Evil Dead 2 with Sam Raimi. I think you'd agree with me when I say that co-writing Evil Dead 2 is a bigger deal than anything else that Scott has accomplished. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, Mr. Spiegel. I just think that Evil Dead 2 is a... When you say it's a cult classic, you have to put a lot of emphasis on the word classic. That's a big deal movie. Danny Trejo is in this film, but I'm going to wait until a little later to talk about Danny Trejo. You'll understand when I return to the topic of Mr. Trejo. Now, although this is a straight-to-video release, it was released theatrically in the Netherlands, Spain, the Philippines, Hungary, Italy, and Japan. Now, in my opinion, if this movie was released theatrically in America and I went to go see it, I'd be disappointed. Seeing it on video, I wasn't disappointed. There's something about a straight-to-video movie that makes me lower my expectations, which may or may not be fair. I don't know. It's just naturally how I approach it. I think there's more on the line when you leave the house to go see a movie in the theater. I guess you gotta leave the house to go to the video store. I mean, there's no video stores anymore, but at the time there were. The point being, theaters is a much bigger thing, so you expect a much bigger movie. But here's the thing, you know, if I was on vacation in one of those countries that I just mentioned, and I walked past a movie theater, and I was like, wait, what? From Dusk Till Dawn 2? Is this a thing? I would go see it, and I would actually be very excited about it, and it would be a highlight of my vacation. And I would brag about it forever. It would be a flex. People would be like, have you ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn 2? I'd be like, yep, I saw it in the theater in the Netherlands. What else is new in the Netherlands? Dude, it doesn't matter. Okay, so how do I feel about this movie? I mean, I like it. I don't love it. I love the first one, but I like it. I like the concept. I like the idea of vampires that rob a bank simply because why wouldn't they rob banks? I mean, if you're a vampire, you're probably not going to get a job. You're probably going to be a criminal. That might not be something they explore in horror films that much. The whole concept of how do vampires make ends meet. They always tend to be portrayed as wealthy or somehow taken care of without any real explanation of how they acquire money. Because if they live in a house, okay, let's just talk about this in like modern terms. Like if a vampire is living in a house, even though they're a vampire, you still have to pay the electricity bill. You have no choice. At the very least, right? You got to pay the electricity bill. How are you going to get money? You're going to go work at a night job? I don't think so. You're probably going to do some criminal activity. So, I mean, granted, these characters were criminals before they became vampires. That makes sense. But if you think about it, any vampire that's a criminal might have some sort of origin story, whether if it explains their criminal behavior or if the, you know, origin story explains how they became a vampire. Maybe, like in a case like this one, the two are connected. So, I mean, if you say to somebody, this is a movie about bank robbing vampires, I understand that most people would think that sounds stupid. There's a certain sense of humor that one must possess to be attracted to that kind of concept. I have it. I feel like those same people that would look down upon this movie like the kinds of movies that I also like. So I just feel like I have versatility. I like serious movies. I like art. I like smart films, but I also like ridiculous garbage. And this is who I'm speaking to right now. I'm speaking to people out there who are proud that they like ridiculous garbage. Now, in the world of ridiculous garbage, I'm not going to pretend that this is some, you know, shining example of it. It's not going to ever be considered a cult classic. It's just a thing like if you've ever been curious, there were ways to, you know, spend an hour and a half. Now, that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but I just don't want to let you down if you watch it and go, you tricked me. No, I didn't trick you. I never said it was a great film. But here's a concept. Does every movie you ever watch have to be great? Are you always in the mood to watch a great film? I'm certainly not. There's many, many times where I don't want to watch a great film because I feel a great film requires me to give it a lot of attention. It deserves my attention. And sometimes I want to watch a movie, but I just kind of want to watch it on cruise control. I just want to relax, settle into my own skin, and just watch a brain-dead movie where vampires rob a bank. And that's what this is. So if that appeals to you, it's got you covered. So there you go. This, let's see here. You know what? I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie. Let's move on, shall we? Also from the year 1999 is From Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter. This film takes place in Mexico in the year 1913. So yeah, it's a prequel. Okay, so I'm not going to like go into like great detail about this plot, because there's actually more to this plot than there is to part two. And I don't want to like explain it all. So I was going to say this, like the point of this film is to do two things. One, introduce a collection of characters and have them all end up in the second half of the film in the titty twister. You know about the titty twister because you know Dusk Till Dawn Part 1, which in this film is not called the titty twister, right? Because it makes sense. The year is 1913. That wouldn't be called that in 1913, especially in Mexico. It's actually called La Titilla de Diablo, which translates to the devil's nipple. Okay, and the second thing that this film, point of this film is to reveal that one of these characters ends up being a significant character in the first film. This serves as an origin story. So this is, you know, literally a prequel. Now, although there are a handful of characters in this movie, the main three characters are named Ambrose Bierce, who Ambrose Bierce is actually a real life person. There really was an Ambrose Bierce. He was a writer. And Johnny Madrid, he's a criminal type. I guess all these movies have criminals, right? And of course, it's called Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter. So we got to have the hangman's daughter. Her name is Esmeralda. She's literally the daughter of a hangman. It's not like a nickname. You know, the father of Esmeralda, the man, the actor who plays the hangman, he's played by, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, Temuera Morrison. Temuera, spelled T-E-M-U-E-R-A. Temuera Morrison. Which means he's everyone's dad, right? He's Aquaman's dad. He's Moana's dad. He's Boba Fett's dad. He's all the cool dads, right? Yeah, that's about as much as I want to tell you about the plot. I really don't want to spoil it for you, because there's more to be spoiled. There's stuff that could be spoiled. And I won't do it. Because what's the point of this, right? Encourage you to watch the movie. Let the movie reveal its secrets to you. This film is directed by P.J. Pesky. Once again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. P-E-S-C-E, Pesky. You know, he also directed The Lost Boys, The Tribe. That's super coincidental and weird to me that this guy who directed two straight-to-video sequels to popular vampire franchises got brought up in two separate episodes of my podcast. And I mean, the world's a big place. I said a small place. Yeah, it's a small place. Small. It's a small world, right? That's the figure of speech that I was going for. So the point is, you'd think someone else would have also brought him up. But have they? Maybe I'm the first. Maybe I'm the first person to talk about PJ Pesky. That's about as much as I'm going to talk about him, because I'm just bringing up that he directed these two movies and it's a coincidence. You know, one of the leads in this film is played by Michael Parks. He plays Ambrose Bierce. And you may recognize Michael Parks because he's in From Dusk Till Dawn, Part 1. He played Texas Ranger Earl McGraw. And Earl McGraw gets killed in Benny's World of Liquor in the opening scene of Dusk Till Dawn. He actually reprises this character in other movies in the Tarantino verse, in the Rodriguez verse. He's in Kill Bill. He's playing the same character. He's reprising the character Kill Bill and Planet Terror. And I don't think he's in Death Proof. But he's in Planet Terror. That's in Grindhouse. So he plays real-life author Ambrose Bierce, who co-authored a short story, I'm sorry, I don't know who he co-authored it with, called The Monk and the Hangman's Daughter. I can't help but to think that's not a coincidence, and that they took the title of this movie, Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter, from the title of that story. I don't know what this story is about. I didn't bother to look it up because it didn't seem important to me. And I also don't think it's important to you. I don't think you're like, oh, nuts. He should have looked it up and told us all about it. No, you don't care. The two most familiar faces in this film besides Danny Trejo are Rebecca Gayheart, who horror fans remember from Urban Legend. I like Urban Legend. It's a cool movie. And the other one is Sonia Braga, who's one of those actresses that I know the name, I know the face, and yet I look at her filmography online and I go, I don't think I've seen any of these movies. And yet two of them stick out as movies I've like heard of a lot. And that is Kiss of the Spider Woman and the Milagro Beanfield War. I just remember in the 80s hearing those titles mentioned. I never actually saw those movies. So let's go back to Danny Trejo. Remember I mentioned him earlier and I said I was going to bring him up again? Well, here we are. I'm bringing him up. Danny Trejo is in this movie. He's the only actor to appear in all three films. And in From Dusk Till Dawn Part 1, he plays a character who is a bartender named Razor Charlie. And in this movie, he plays the same character, right? Because it's a prequel. He plays that bartender again, Razor Charlie. Now, in Part 2, even though Razor Charlie is killed in Part 1, he, what would appear to seem like he reprises the role, when in fact he's playing Razor Charlie's twin brother named Razor Eddie. Now, here's what I think. I think, and it doesn't matter, but I think in Part 2 he should have also, I think in Part 3, is what I meant to say. I think in Part 3, he should have also been playing Razor Eddie, not Razor Charlie. Why? Because vampires are immortal, so whenever they get turned into a vampire, they're supposed to look that age forever. And he does look significantly younger in Part 1 than he does in Parts 2 and 3. In Parts 2 and 3, because they were filmed, I guess, back to back, he looks the same age. So wouldn't it make sense that if he looks like an older version of himself, that he should be playing Razor Eddy in both films. Now, like part two, this film was released theatrically in Hungary, but that's it. No other foreign countries. What do I think about this film? I like it. I actually like it more than part two. I think that it's got more to it than part two. There's more story. There's a lot of stuff I didn't bring up. And the whole half of the film that doesn't involve vampires, that involves the introducing of the characters, all of these criminals and their crimes in Mexico, I find it interesting and entertaining. And the lead up to all of these characters converging and meeting at the Titty Twister, I think it's great. And that whole last act of the film really delivers for me at the Titty Twister. I feel like you don't get that in part two, because all of that mayhem happens at the bank. As where this film, like part one, you get to see all the violence take place at the Titty Twister. And as a fan of the franchise, you want to see it in a familiar setting. And the reveal of this being an origin story for a certain character is exciting. And I think the whole thing works for me. Is it great? No, but it's good. It's a little better than part two, but it is good. And I think that if you watch two and three, maybe even back to back or one day apart, you get a lot out of it. You know, there's also a TV series. You know, I don't know much about it. I watched the first season. I kind of liked it. I tried to watch the second season and I kind of lost interest. So maybe I'll revisit it one day. Maybe I won't. I don't really care. I think I'm more into the movies. I had heard that they wanted to do a part four, but they never did. I actually hope they do. I think they should make a whole bunch of From Dusk Till Dawn movies. I mean, think about it. Why wouldn't there be a lot of From Dusk Till Dawn movies? Wouldn't there be a lot of vampires in Mexico if we've established that there are excuse me, if they are already a bunch of vampires? Isn't there a whole bunch more that we don't know about? And especially if you establish that this has been going back as far as 1913, then you could tell stories in any era. I wouldn't mind seeing a Dusk Till Dawn film that takes place in the 50s. I wouldn't mind seeing a Dusk Till Dawn film that takes place in the 70s. You could do a whole bunch, and I'm not against it. You know, there's franchises like The Howling or Children of the Corn where there's like 10 sequels. Why not 10 Dusk Till Dawn straight-to-video sequels? I would like to see those. I bet a bunch of people too. Parts 2 and 3 are on Pluto TV if you know, want to check them out. And if you ever want to get the DVD, they're usually packaged together on one DVD. They did put these out on Blu-ray, but just for kicks, I looked them up and they're pretty pricey because I don't have the Blu-rays. I have the DVDs and I don't have them as a packaged set. I have them as separate ones. I had once bought a box set that had all three films packaged together, but in separate cases. So there you go. If you're on the fence, I want to push you towards watching it if these are the kind of stories that appeal to you. And the special effects are kind of cool. The movie has some laughs here and there. It's just kind of a hoot. There you go. Thank you for spending time with me. Until the next time that we talk about movies, I hope you take care of yourself, take care of each other, and it's been a blast. I always love talking movies with you. Take care. Aloha.